We're back.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Aaron, I just heard you say it's our first 5 o'clock sunset tonight, but if I remember correctly, we had some last summer and into September, too, didn't we?
Just as I said that, I said to myself, I should have said the first 5 o'clock sunset this year.
Oh!
2022.
Oh! Okay.
Thank you for correcting me.
Well, I didn't mean to do that on air, but it's I know okay. that you are very diligent about your accuracy.
So. I appreciate you calling me out so I could correct the record. Thank you.
Okay, got it. Thank you. Okay, I got a lot of stuff in the big lead here. Hey, yesterday we told you about this new language guide that the University of Washington IT department has pushed out. And it has a list of words that you're not supposed to say anymore because they're so horribly offensive to people. And so I went through the whole thing yesterday. For example, you can't say that an airplane has a black box because that's horribly offensive to black people. I don't know, even though it's not. And what I said is nobody's offended by any of this stuff. You can't say no can do for I can't do that or I can't go to that because they say it's a pidgin English that was originally to make fun of Asian immigrants to this country. Well, there's not one person alive who's genuinely offended by somebody saying no can do. But people like to pretend to be offended because it gives them some temporary validation for whatever problems they have in life. And so people just make up being victims of stuff. But what is really disgusting is the University of Washington playing into this. Let's see, I got the whole list in front of me once again that I told you about yesterday. You can't say something was grandfathered in, because that was originally used for in the American South in the 1890s as a way to prevent black Americans from voting. So 130 years later, when nobody is saying it, knowing that that's the original use, now it's racist. What's interesting is how many people are called racist for saying words when those people don't ever do anything that's racist. It's very interesting to me. So anyway, I talked about that yesterday, and in the course of talking about it, I realized there are a lot of songs and a lot of things in music that have to be banned because of it. And I mentioned a few on yesterday's show. And sure enough, having the greatest listeners in all of radio, I started getting all these text messages that I reviewed after the show, and there are an awful... Oh, and the reason all of this came up in the first place is because the governor of California, Gavin Newsom, he went to a rail yard where people were breaking into the boxcars and stealing all of the Amazon packages. They were just stealing people blind. And he said, well, there are gangs of people who are doing this, or he said gangs of criminals. And they go, oh, I'm sorry. I apologize. Gangs is a pejorative. So in his mind, apparently, if you say gang, the way Gavin Newsom and crazy thinking leftists do it, well, if you say gang, that means black people, which also isn't true. The Hell's Angels or a motorcycle gang, right? But Gavin Newsom, he said, oh, we won't call them gangs. We're going to call them organized groups of folks. That's how their brains work. Organized groups of folks instead of gangs. Here it is. If you think I'm exaggerating, here it is.
This is not one-off. This is organized theft. These are organized gangs of people that are coming out, and forgive me for saying gangs. I know that's not a pejorative. They're organized groups of folks.
What torture it must be to have a brain that is that brainwashed. Oh, forgive me for saying gangs. They're organized groups of folks. So as I talked about yesterday, I find Coolio all of a sudden to be very offensive. Okay, very offensive, Coolio. It's not a gangster's paradise. It's an organized group of folksters' paradise. And I know that it doesn't fall off the tongue quite as readily and fit the meter of the song, but I am hoping that thanks to the University of Washington Information Technology Department, I'm hoping that Coolio can finally right his wrong and end his races. So anyway, then a bunch of listeners started texting me. Our buddy Joe Walsh, who we've had on the show and is just one of the greatest guests ever. Before he was in the Eagles, you know who Joe Walsh was with? A little Funk 40, number 49 here. This Joe Walsh and the James organized group of folks. Can we get word to him about it? Oh, and then this song. Who doesn't love this song? Cool in the organized group of folks? You better believe it. And then, you know, the University of Washington specifically mentioned no can do is a phrase that we're not allowed to use. So, Daryl, John, what do you say to that? Will you fix the song? I love Hall & Oates. I didn't realize what closet racists they are with their pidgin English mocking a group of people. I wonder if that's the only reason they wrote this song, so that they could sneak through their racism. So anyway, once again, I want to thank my alma mater, the University of Washington, for having gone insane. That's ableist. The University of Washington for having gone cuckoo. That's not allowed. For having an interesting perspective on an issue that I disagree with them on. So thank you again to the University of Washington. Let's see. I got some other audio that I have to share with you. Joe Biden, as you no doubt know, the first time he ran for president, he had to drop out because he had plagiarized a speech from a British politician, pretty much word for word. And it turns out Joe Biden had been a plagiarist for most of his life. When he was in college, through much of his political life, he just lies and steals other people's stuff. Somebody sent this to me. This one's pretty incredible. So this is back in 1987. So this is a guy who just 2 years ago, less than that, about a year and 3 months ago, got 81 million votes. That was impressive. But here he is in 1987.
Question. What law school did you attend?
So somebody asked him about law school. And this is interesting because Jay Inslee got into Stanford and then transferred to Willamette, I think it was, because he says for financial reasons. But Stanford doesn't kick kids out because of financial hardship. So, the widespread belief is that Jay Inslee flunked out of Stanford, or just couldn't hack it academically, and was not going to be able to get through Stanford Law academically. So that's when he went to Willamette. But he always says that it's for financial reasons that he got out of Stanford. And again, once they admit you, I've talked to many, many people who have told me that Stanford, once they admit you, they find a way to, you know, with a combination of grants and loans and whatever you need. They don't kick you out for financial hardship. But Jay Inslee says that's why he transferred. But it was because he couldn't hack it academically. And here's Joe Biden's, because somebody asked him what law school he went to and where he placed in his class. This is 1987.
Question, what law school did you attend and where did you place in that class? And the other question is, could you quickly,
I think I probably have a much higher IQ than you do, I suspect. I went to law school on a full academic scholarship, the only one in my class to have a full academic scholarship. In the first year in law school, I decided I didn't want to be in law school and ended up in the bottom two-thirds of my class, and then decided I wanted to stay, went back to law school, and in fact ended up in the top half of my class. I won the international moot court competition. I was the outstanding student in the political science department at the end of my year. I graduated with 3 degrees from undergraduate school and 165 credits, only need 123 credits, and I'd be delighted to sit down and compare my IQ to yours if you'd like, Frank.
What a difference, too. I mean, at least he could speak back then. But all of that was lies. Journalists at the time fact-checked him. He said he went to law school on a full academic scholarship. No. According to Newsweek at the time, he went to school on a half scholarship, ended up in the bottom of his class. Not the very bottom, but in the lowest, lower third. He got 1 degree, not 3, as he claimed. He said he ended up in the top half of his class. No, Joe Biden, when confronted with truth, he conceded he did not graduate in the top half of his law school class. He conceded that he does not have the 3 degrees. And he also claimed he was the outstanding student in the political science department. And journalists checked this out before the internet, before Google. And he was not named the outstanding political science student in college. So it's just, it's interesting that even back then, when his mind was clearly a billion times sharper than it is now, but he used that mind to just tell constant nonstop lies. And it persists to today, where he's got the lowest approval rating imaginable. And again, if you missed it earlier, a new Harvard poll that came out today puts Joe Biden in the 30% in the 30s for approval. And so now we're starting to see a slow, it's not even that slow, a steady descent to find out where the floor is for the guy. Because how 35% of Americans can approve of the job he's doing, that's unimaginable. Because he hasn't done anything well or right. So that just shows you, though, that clip that I just played, that this goes way, way back. And then the other question that has to be asked is, who is running the country? Because clearly it is not Joe Biden. Clearly the cognitive decline is so significant that he can't run the country. And because of the absence of any leadership, when reporters ask him questions, I mean, about inflation, he calls them a son of a bee. When they ask about Russia and Ukraine, he says, I'm here to talk about other things. He can't answer anything. And that makes you wonder who is running the country. Well, now the conspiracy theorists say, well, it's still Barack Obama. Barack Obama's pulling the strings. And they say, well, you know, Barack Obama, last year, he said that he wished that he could have that role.
What you know now, do you wish, like, you had a third term? And I used to say, you know what, if I could make an arrangement where I had a stand-in, a front man or front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement in my sweats looking through the stuff, and then I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and ceremony, I'd be fine with that.
Okay. So then people have seized on recent sound bites, one of them just a couple days ago. Nancy Pelosi accidentally said that Obama is the president now.
Keep government open. We have to do those imminently, more imminently even, to address the full Obama agenda of building back better.
Obama, no, Joe Biden's the president. And then here's the one from just a couple of days ago. Jen Psaki, the White House spokesperson, she started to goof up on the president's name.
I really am.
I'm enjoying you, too.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
But a little bird told me that you said you might be resigning the job this year. Say it isn't so. Is it true?
I don't know when I'm leaving. This is an honor and a privilege, and I love working for President Biden every single day.
I love working for President Obama. And so people say, oh, we're right. Now, I don't buy this. I don't get me wrong. I don't buy this because Barack Obama looks like a conservative compared to whoever is pulling the puppet strings now. It is a radical leftist agenda. And the conspiracy people are saying, Barack Obama always wanted to be a radical socialist president, but he was afraid of what that would do to his legacy. Now he can finally be that Marxist that was always lurking within for those 8 years that he was president. I'm not buying that, but it is weird, isn't it? To hear Pelosi accidentally call Biden Obama? To hear Jen Psaki, the White House spokesperson who supposedly meets with Biden every single day, and she started to accidentally call him Obama? And that's how it is odd, but I am certain that Joe Biden is not running the country. I just don't know who is. And that's what's so unnerving to everybody is we watch China flies 23 jets over Taiwan and Russia's massing troops at the Ukraine border. And they're doing this because they know the United States is a shell right now, an empty vessel at the top. And so they can do it with impunity. Because we don't have a president right now. And shame on all the people who put somebody who clearly during the campaign was in such sharp cognitive decline. Shame on the people for putting that person into the White House. I mean, it's very dangerous for this world. And that is your big lead this hour.
The big lead on Cairo Radio.
Oh, my goodness. The reaction to the audio I played 2.5 hours ago right at the beginning of the show about how our schools are teaching kids some of the most damaging, destructive mindset attitudes in the world. If you missed it, you got to hear this audio. It's coming up next from a local school district here in the Dory Monson Show. Man, I have gotten some incredible response. I'm checking all your text messages at 888-973-CHIRO. That's how you can directly reach out to us. 888-973-5476. The story that we brought to you in the 12:30 half hour, we talked to a woman, Angie. She has terminal cancer, but her doctors can extend her life, can give her a few more months, maybe another year, to be with her husband, to be with her 3 kids. But Jay Inslee's elective surgery prohibition means the doctors cannot do that surgery right now. And I got a lot of people who said, why don't the doctors, doctors are strong-willed. Why don't they just do it anyway? No, you'll lose your license as an individual and as a hospital if you violate the governor's mandate. Then there were other people who said, I blame the unvaxxed who are taking up precious hospital space. First of all, nice compassion for somebody who has terminal cancer. And then secondly, the people who are saying that the hospitals were already managing that, the doctors, the surgeons, they were already managing that. They were prioritizing in order of need, and they were doing fine. And the surgeon I talked to last Wednesday said that they weren't consulted when the governor came up with the elective surgery ban. So if you want to hear the whole interview with Angie, who's has a Lyme-sized brain tumor and cancer that is metastasized throughout her body, she wants a little more time. And she wants some relief in the time she has left. She gets blinding headaches, and they can offer her relief. But pain mitigation is not enough for the elective surgery ban. So we're sending this to Jay Inslee's office. I'm guessing he's already heard about it if he hasn't heard Angie herself. And this is absolutely reprehensible. If you want to hear the whole interview, we'll have the podcast up from the first hour today. And then the other story that has gotten just incredible response and feedback. A listener sent me a video that was played for high school kids in the Kent School District for their Martin Luther King Day commemoration. And what I said then, a couple hours ago, 2.5 hours ago, I'll say again now. We have a lot of adults, and a lot of them are in teaching and administration and with the racial equity curricula. They are poisoning children so horribly, and it is doing what could be permanent damage to these kids, because what kids need to learn is that we all have the power of self-determination. And no matter what challenge, everybody's got some challenges. A lot of people have fewer challenges than maybe what I had as a kid or what these kids have as kids. But I didn't go around asking people to apologize for having a dad who wasn't around, for being in poverty. I didn't ask other people, apologize to me, because they cut off our phone yesterday. The example I gave that, I don't know, it makes me kind of smile, was when I was 12 and, you know, the little time my dad was around, he shows up in my Little League game wearing these light-colored blue jeans, and he had peed himself before he walks up to the Little League field. You know what it's like when you're 12 years old? And my friends didn't know who my dad was because he wasn't around, but they say, hey, is that your dad? And you look over and you see that it's somebody who's just peed themselves. You know what that's like? Do you know what that's like when you're 12 years old? Did I ask anybody to apologize to me? No! But listen to the presentation that was given to the kids in the Kent School District for Martin Luther King Day.
But sometimes I can't help but feel like I need an apology too. For everything that was taken away, opportunities lost, promises unfulfilled, and deferred dreams, deferred again and again. I want an apology for the consequences of decisions made without my permission. An apology for the people who have been taken away from me. My heart aches for an apology that I will never hear. My heart aches for an apology that I will never hear.
It does? Okay, two things. If you're never going to hear it, then why would you think that that is a necessary component for you to move on in life? And if your heart aches for it, literally, then you got to take better control of things. If you say, I'm never going to hear it, don't torture yourself like that. But that's what these kids are being taught. And that's what was being communicated in this video that was presented. And also explain to me how this in any way reflects the message of Martin Luther King Jr. But here's what kids are being taught today. Here's another. There's a girl who wants an apology.
I want an apology. I want an apology from my dad for making me black. I want an apology from my dad for making me black, but marrying a white woman, so I'm not quite black. I want an apology from my dad for making me black, but not quite black, but teaching me about black culture, but not enough for me to be black. I want an apology from my mom. I want an apology from my mom for making me white. I want an apology from my mom for making me white, but marrying a black man, so I'm not quite white.
And she also wants an apology from the world, too.
I want an apology from my mom for making me white, but not quite white, but giving me education and good housing and vocabulary, but not enough for me to be white. I want an apology from the world.
But by the way, I'll get to her apology from the world. What's with the cult-like music in the background? Do-do-do. That's creepy. So everything about this is creepy, and it is absolutely wrong what we're doing to our children.
I want an apology from the world. I want an apology from the world for making me mixed, but not quite mixed. Because according to the world, my skin color means I'm black. I'm gangsters and Jordans and rough neighborhoods. But because of my voice, I'm white. I'm a college degree and a doctor or a lawyer. I want an apology, but still, I apologize.
She apologized. Why is she apologizing?
I want an apology, but still, I apologize. I apologize for acting white around my black friends and family. I apologize for acting black around my white friends and family. I apologize.
Who are you apologizing to? I don't care. You don't have to ask anything. If you don't want to act white around your black family, then don't act white around your black family. If you don't mind acting white around your black family, whatever all that means, then if you don't mind it, then don't apologize for it. Who cares? Why do you need an apology? Who are you apologizing to? These poor kids, man. This is what our schools are putting in their heads, and it's destroying lives. It's making everybody a victim. Oh, I'll never achieve anything because I'm a victim. This is horrible. This is despicable, man.
My heart is searching for an apology for more than a year of isolation, more than a year of feeling like I need to shout and march to be heard and seen, more than a year of lives lost in preventable ways.
Maybe the schools should spend more time talking about proper pronunciation of words and not about teaching the kids how to be victims like this. And then they acknowledge that nobody ever apologizes.
Hearts ache for the apology that I will never hear. We all deserve an apology. But I may never get the apology I deserve from those I need it from. But do know what I need to hear. If I speak them to myself, will help me to forgive.
I don't know. That's up to you. So that's the video that was presented to kids in the Kent School District for MLK last week. These kids are so lost right now because of the school curriculum that is just poisoning them. Kids, if you want to succeed, outwork your competition, make good choices in life. You have control over that. You don't need anybody to apologize to you. You don't have to apologize to anybody. You can go out and get it. But not if you think you're a victim. Not if adults have already taught you. You don't have any chance. And that's why I tell you, curriculum like this is some of the most evil, insidious garbage in all of society these days. And we will have our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. So I'm playing the audio of all the kids who want apologies. And at some point I said, you know, something about I'm sorry. And people always come. I truly don't know what I'm doing wrong. What? Well, I've just made it clear that I say WH is weird. But somebody wrote in and wanted to know if I'm going to apologize for how I say sorry. Try saying it without the Canadian accent. Andrew, do I say sorry weird?
You do say it a little bit like a Canadian, Dory, I have to be honest. Because America usually... Around here, they say sorry. They kind of sorry.
Sorry?
Well, I'm saying it more pronounced like that just to make the point. Sorry. Versus
I really don't sorry. Know how it's supposed to be said. I grew up in Ballard. I don't have any Canadian roots.
Sorry. Sorry. So sorry. Sar instead of sore.
That's what I was trying to sore. That's what I was trying to say. Yeah, you drop it low. Sorry.
Sorry. Sore. I'm sorry.
It is a bit Canadian, but no, we say it. Sorry. Sar.
Sorry?
Sar versus yeah.
Isn't
sore.
Sari like a Japanese dress? Like a sarong?
I have no idea.
Yeah,
I just
sorry.
Never say sorry. You say, I'm sorry.
Sorry is S-A-R-I. Sorry. That's not S-O-R-R-Y. None of this makes... I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but everybody always comments... on a, yeah, I was right about this. A sari is a woman's garment from the, I said Asian, Indian. Well, India is Asia. A sari is a woman's garment from the Indian subcontinent that consists of an unstitched drape.
Well, sometimes things mean different things in different places.
How do you say my name? My first name?
Dori.
D-O-R-I. And how do you say S-O-R-R-Y?
Sorry.
Why don't you call me Dari?
The English language is a cruel mistress, Dori. The English language is a cruel mistress. Stop trying to explain it. It doesn't quite work.
But my point is...
We're just telling you how the majority of people say, everybody has a little twang.
That just because everybody thinks I'm saying it wrong doesn't mean I'm saying it wrong. Could it be that I'm the only one who's saying it correctly?
It's always possible.
And that you're all wrong. It's sorry.
Sure.
Sorry, Dori. They rhyme. They have similar...
But they're not spelled at all alike.
Alphabetical structure.
I think as long as people can understand what you're trying to say, I think you're doing okay.
I'm just, but every time I say sorry, people say, that's the Canadian accent. And I have no idea what I'm doing wrong.
I like it. We don't talk fun around here. I say A a lot just for fun because we don't have anything special in this area.
Okay. All right. Well, I just want to say I'm sorry for how I say sorry. But it's sorry.
I don't think you should apologize for that.
Yeah, I know. I learned from the kids. Okay, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dori Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
So the girls in the smoothie shop in Connecticut, they're speaking out now. You've probably seen this video. A dad went in, ordered a smoothie with no peanut butter, and then he brought it home, and they had actually accidentally put a peanut in the smoothie. He gave it to his son, who has a severe peanut allergy. They had to call EMS. The son went into anaphylactic shock, was taken to an ambulance, was in the hospital. The dad went berserk because their son could have died from this. But then the way the dad handled it, he goes back to the smoothie shop with the smoothie, and he was just in a rage.
Please don't yell at us.
Yeah.
Video, you have no room to yell at us.
I want to speak to the person who made this drink. Is that you?
No,
we don't know who made it. So
there are two teenage girls working at this smoothie shop.
I don't know who made it.
There's four of us here, so we honestly don't know.
You're a high school kid.
Okay, bye.
I want to speak to the
guy. Okay, you can call corporate whenever you want. Goodbye.
Jumpstart.
I don't care.
Then he takes the smoothie and throws it at one of the girls, hitting her in the shoulder. Okay, and then he calls one of the girls F-word immigrant, too. So the girls, they spoke out. They spoke to the local news there and talked about this encounter.
Calling her racial slurs, and he threatened to kill us multiple times.
And they said that what if somebody confronted one of those, that dad's kids, the way he confronted them?
It's kind of scary, not gonna lie, because I'm like, I don't know his intention or what he was gonna do. We're literally high schoolers, and for you to like say that to us and stuff like that, like, it's just not right at all. Like, he has kids of his own. Like, imagine just like being a parent and like your kid telling you that like that happened at work. Like, I
understand being very upset if your kid has a life-threatening situation, but so the guy's been fired from his Merrill Lynch job and could do jail time for that. Bizarre story. Okay, I got to get out of here. John Curley and Sherry Elliker are coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. See you back here tomorrow. High noon!